Today on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, learn how God can turn humiliation into liberation.
Some of you have a place in your life that you are ashamed of, something that you feel like is a hindrance to your life. But God says, no, this is so that the glory of God may be displayed. Because of your background, the diamond is going to shine a lot brighter when it finally comes to light.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago and President of Moody Bible Institute. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Well, today, our first program of 2021, we're talking about how our vision can affect our destiny. Mark, where are we headed?
Well, praise God, we're headed into a new year, Wayne. And thanks for listening on the first day of 2021.
We'll never forget 2020.
We're never going to forget it. And I know some of you are praying, Lord, I want this to be a whole different kind of year than it was in 2020. But we're starting, I think, with a great message, because today's message is about vision and how it affects our destiny.
Good.
And, you know, this is a powerful, powerful story about Jesus' interaction with a blind man, but it's more than just physical blindness we're talking about. We're talking about destiny and vision for our life. And what a great way to start our new year than to talking about vision for 2021.
I agree. The message is titled, What Do You See? From the book of John. And here's Mark Jobe.
I believe that there are some people today that as you walk out of this auditorium, God is going to open your eyes up so that you can see your life in a fresh new way. In fact, I believe that some of you are operating in the dark or you have a wrong perspective on your life today. And here's the important thing about this. Get it. Here it comes. Listen. You need to understand that vision affects destiny. If I can't see clearly, I can't arrive at my God-given destination clearly. Some of you are fumbling around in the dark. Some of you have the wrong perspective of how God sees you because your eyes are closed. And today God wants to open your eyes up in a fresh new way so that you can get to where God wants you to get in a more straight line. So I'm believing that God is going to do that in some of your lives today. You know, what do you see? We all have to take a double look because we see something and we don't recognize it, or we see it at first and we see it in the wrong way. I was just yesterday talking to our worship leader, John Palazzi. By the way, let's give it up for John. Does a great job, right? And the team. And you may not know this about John. You may think he spends all his time writing music in a studio with his guitar, practicing his voice. But that's not the truth. John is actually a union electrician apprentice. So during the week, he puts on a hard hat and so forth and goes to his union job. Well, he told me that he was at a job site last week. And he was at a job site. And a guy came up to him and he said, I know you. And he said, I don't think I know you. He said, no, I know you from somewhere. Do you know me? And he said, no, don't know you at all. I don't recognize. No, I know you. And he was like, okay. And then the guy said, do you sing? And John says, yeah, I sing. Do you sing in church? He says, yeah, I sing in church. That's where I know you, New Life Community Church. And his foreman, the boss, was there saying, you sing? And John says, yeah, I sing. He says, sing us something. And so John starts to belt out, how great is our God, how great is our God. The foreman says, okay, that's good. Now we got to work here. We're not about singing. But sometimes, has that ever happened to you? You see someone and you think you recognize them, but it's someone else, or you see someone and it's not the person you thought. You have to take a second look. I believe that oftentimes, that's the way it is in our life, that I'm asking you today to take a second look at your life through new eyes and through a fresh perspective. And I want to turn your attention to John chapter 9, verses 1 through 41, there's a story here about Jesus' encounter with a man who has not been able to see since birth. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 1 of John chapter 9. It's speaking about Jesus, and it says, as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, which is what they called a teacher in those days, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the works of God may be displayed in him. As long as it's day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no man can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. So today, if you're taking notes, I'm going to challenge you to see your life from God's perspective in a brand new way. And I'm going to ask you, what do you see? First of all, the first point I want you to write down is this. Take a new look, because your hindrance could be really your greatest advantage. It's interesting that this story starts out by saying, Scripture says about Jesus, that Jesus saw the blind man. Think about that for a moment. Jesus saw the blind man when the blind man didn't even know Jesus was looking at him. Jesus saw him before the blind man ever saw Jesus. While Jesus had his eyes on the blind man was just going about life, not even realizing that the Son of God, Jesus, the Creator, the God-man, was actually fixated, looking at him, knowing him, observing him. He had no idea that Jesus was looking at him. Can I tell you that some of you today, you walked in this auditorium, some of you with this idea that God of the universe could care less about you, that he doesn't really know you, that you are just a number in a big crowd, that who would even know you? Maybe if you even walked in this place thinking, I don't know anybody in this church. It's a big place. I get lost in the crowd. But I want you to pause for a second and realize that before you ever walked in these doors, that when you sat down, there's some eyes that have been on you. The eyes of the one who knows all things, the eyes of the one who loves you and has followed your journey. He sees you before you ever saw him. It's a powerful concept that he saw you. So this blind man goes about his business not even knowing that Jesus is looking at him, or not even knowing that Jesus saw him. And the disciples have a perspective about this blind man. They asked Jesus, Jesus, who sinned? Was it this man or his parents that he was born blind? Now, that's a little bit of a weird question. Who sinned? I mean, if he's been blind since birth, how did in the world did he sin? As a baby in his mother's womb? I mean, he was born into this world blind. The rabbis, by the way, had a theological debate, and some of the rabbis believed that a baby could actually sin in their mother's womb. Weird, right? So they were wondering, hey, did the baby sin, or was it the parents that did something wrong so that when this child was born into the world, from day one, he was blind? You see, a lot of people, immediately the disciples had cast judgment upon an individual. They looked at this blind person's bad circumstances and they figured someone messed up so that this person was born blind. Someone failed so that this person had a disadvantage in their life. Someone blew it, and these are the consequences of someone blowing it. I believe that the disciples judged this blind man, but when Jesus looked at this blind man, he saw something different. He didn't see a blind man that was a result of someone's failure. He didn't see a blind man that was a result of someone's sin. He saw something absolutely different. In fact, Jesus looks at him and he says, but neither this man nor his parent sinned. But this happened so that the works of God, here it comes, this is the word, so that the works of God may be displayed in him. Think about that for a second. What God is saying is that this person's disadvantage, this person's hardship, this person's difficult circumstances actually have a point and a purpose that are going to actually lead to something greater in his life and for the glory of God. He uses the word display. A few years ago, I hit a major mile mark in my life. My 25th year wedding anniversary. Wow. Big time. I know that clap is for my wife. Like, bless her heart, she endured 25 years. And so, as we were approaching our 25th year anniversary, I was asking my wife, so what do you want to do? How do you want to celebrate? And she was giving hints, not so subtle hints. Like, you know, this ring that you gave me 25 years ago when you were really poor, had no money, it was nice, it's cute, it's significant, it has meaning to it. But it would be nice for an upgrade. Glad she was saying that about the ring and not about her husband, right? This would be nice for an upgrade. And so I got that not so subtle hint, and I said, all right, honey, let's go out and let's give you an upgrade on your ring. So she was all excited about it. She started looking around at jewelry shops to see an upgrade in her diamond. I know nothing about jewelry, and I know nothing about yellow, white diamond specks or whatever that a lot of you may know about. But so she took me around to some jewelry shops, and here's what I realized. That you put a bunch of diamonds, there, they're not as glamorous as you think unless they're displayed the right way. See, it's not just about the diamond, it's about the setting that the diamond is in. It's about the background of the diamond. It's about the display. If you just see a diamond without all the display around it, it's like, that's all right. But when you see it displayed in the right showcase with the right background, then you say, oh, wow, that's a diamond. And what I realized that one of the favorite backgrounds that they have for diamonds is black velvet. So I had some people show me diamonds, like, yeah, what do you think about that? That's all right. How about that one? That's okay. And then they would pull out the box, and they would open up the box and have a diamond that was in black velvet. And I'd say, wow, that's nice. Now, it was the same diamond they showed me before, but now it's the background, the dark black background that makes the diamond pop out. Because when the diamond is set against a dark background, then suddenly it's the background that causes the diamond to shine. Who knows where I'm going with this? Some of you have a background that's pretty dark. Some of you have a disadvantage in your life. Some of you have a place in your life that you are ashamed of, something that you feel like is a hindrance to your life, a weakness in your life, a disadvantage in your life, something that you don't like to bring up, something that you like to hide, something that you feel like it's a chapter that you would like to erase, like the blind man. But God says, no, this is so that the glory of God or the works of God may be displayed. Because of your background, the diamond is going to shine a lot brighter when it finally comes to light.
You're listening to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. We'll dive into the second point of today's message in just a moment. But first, if you're looking for more tools and resources to help you start the new year off right, we'd love for you to visit our website, boldstepsradio.org, and see what's available. You know, Mark, some people listening are well acquainted with Moody Bible Institute. Others may not know much about Moody, and I'd like to take a moment and talk about what's offered at Moody Bible Institute.
Absolutely. And as many of you know, I'm the 10th president of Moody Bible Institute, and this is a incredibly unique place in the heart of Chicago, but we're also online, and we're aviation in Spokane and up in Michigan as well. And so I know that some of you this year have said to yourselves, I want to get more intentional in my studies. Some of you are serious about taking courses that will plunge you in deeper Bible knowledge. Mm-hmm. And then we have other students that maybe you're graduating from high school and saying, I'm not sure where I want to go next. And so I want to encourage you to check out January 15th. We have Experience Moody online. This is an online info session that may be helpful for some of you. And then on January 22nd, we have a virtual Experience Moody Chicago. So this is a virtual tour where they'll be able to check out classrooms and chapel, but virtually. And so if you are saying, I want to prepare for my purpose and my calling, that's what we do here. We help prepare students for their purpose and their calling.
And if you'd like information about any of these upcoming opportunities in January, you can go to our website, boldstepsradio.org, and just look for the links there, boldstepsradio.org. I think this is a great idea. When the virtual experience is an opportunity to actually attend chapel with the students.
That's right. And you could do that from wherever. You could live right now in California and say, hey, I want to check out Moody.
What's life like in Chicago right
exactly.
now?
Exactly. What's life like? And let me tell you, it's cold. Right now it's cold.
All right. More information at boldstepsradio.org. Thank you, Mark. Let's get back into today's message. What do you see?
See, your greatest hindrance becomes the dark background for God's brightest display. I want you to remember that. And Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So, number one, some of you need to remember that your hindrance is really your greatest advantage. What is your hindrance? What is the background that you feel is dark or shameful in your life? May God use that to be a background that displays His glory once He works in your life in a powerful way so that people, when they look at you, see, say, I know that background. Wow, God is really great. Number two, write this down. Secondly, not only do I want you to take a new look at your hindrance, but I want you to take a new look and realize that your humiliation is actually the road to your liberation. The Bible says that Jesus, in verse 6, after saying this, Jesus did something incredibly unusual, something kind of strange, something unexpected that of Jesus. The Bible says that He spit on the ground. And not only did He spit on the ground, but He made some mud with His saliva and put on the man's eyes. What? I mean, in any culture, no matter where you're at, spitting is kind of nasty. When you're mad at someone, you spit. Kids on the playground, they start saying words at each other and hollering at each other, and a kid will go and spit at another kid. That's like the greatest insult that someone would spit. In certain cultures, people argue and then they spit on the ground and look at the person like, man, you're insult, or spit at you. If you ever have been in an argument as a child and someone spit on your face, it's like one of the greatest insults. And so two things that people don't like a lot, spit and dirt. Jesus mixes it and He actually puts it on the blind man's face. Now, sometimes we sanitize the Bible and, you know, we don't really know what it looked like, but I imagine the blind man, he's there standing, Jesus is talking to His disciples, and, you know, the blind man's like, what's going on? I don't know what Jesus is going. The blind man's, hey, what's happening? People are going, ooh, nasty. He's mixing the mud, and the blind man's there, hey, what's happening? What's going on? I don't know what it looked like. I don't know what it sounded like. But Jesus spits. Don't sanitize it. A spit is spit, whether it's from Jesus or anybody else. Spit is nasty. It's mud. It's nasty. It's spit. He mixes it in the ground. And people are like, oh, ooh, gross, nasty. And He's standing there. And then Jesus puts it on His eyes. And His friends are like, oh, dude, I don't want to tell you what He just did to you, man. He put nasty spit on your eyes. And I'm wondering, why would Jesus do that? You see, here's the thing about Jesus. Jesus can heal however He wants to heal. Sometimes people weren't even present in the room and He says, be healed, and they were healed. Sometimes Jesus would touch them and people were healed. Sometimes Jesus would speak a word and people were healed. Why did Jesus spit? You see, nothing in the Bible is there out of just coincidence. There's a meaning, there's a story, there's a lesson, there's a power in everything that Jesus did. Jesus was very deliberate on what he did. I read various commentaries. I've thought about this a little bit. Why did Jesus spit? Why did he put mud on this person's eyes? And, you know, as I've thought about it more and read about it, you know, some commentators, they said, well, it was a little bit indirect confrontation to the Pharisees because it was the Sabbath and it was forbidden by the Torah. The Torah was a group of laws that explained the laws of the Old Testament, not in the Bible. But, you know, it was forbidden, the Pharisees forbade people to spit on the Sabbath because if you spit, you could make mud and that could be considered work. Hello. You were only allowed to walk a certain distance on the Sabbath as well. Crazy. The other rule that they had is you were not allowed to look into a mirror on the Sabbath because if you looked into a mirror, you may see one solitary gray hair and be tempted to pluck that gray hair. And if you plucked that gray hair, it was considered work. So they said you can't look into the mirror. That's rules upon rules upon rules. Crazy, right? And it was a Sabbath day, and Jesus knew. And so some scholars argue that maybe that was it. I think Jesus had something bigger in mind. I believe that Jesus spit and put mud on this blind man's face because Jesus understood that sometimes it is the walk of obedience and the walk of humiliation that is the open door to our miracle. You see, Jesus initiated a miracle with the mud, but he invited the blind man to participate in the process. Most of us want an immediate miracle. We don't want to participate in a difficult process, especially if the process involves humbling of ourselves. Imagine this. Jesus puts mud on the blind person's eyes and he says, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sin. So this blind man, all his friends see this spittle mud on his face and he has to walk with the crowd watching them because now there's a whole crowd gathered around. They've seen Jesus. They watch what he did. So now there's a whole crowd watching him as he walks through the crowd with mud on his face. That's embarrassing. Walking with mud on his face, in his mind he could have thought, this is embarrassing. I'm not going to do it. Why would I humble myself? Is this just a bad joke? In his mind he had to think, I'm going to trust that Jesus, at the end of this walk of humiliation, will do a miracle in my life. I'm going to believe him and trust him, even though this is difficult and humbling in my life. I know I'm talking to someone today.
You're listening to the New Year's Day edition of Bold Steps with Mark Job. You know, for many people, this day brings the excitement of starting over, but there are some who are less than thrilled with where their lives are going. They don't understand who Jesus is and what he did for us. Or maybe they know about Jesus, but they have questions or doubts. And that's where Ray Pritchard's book, An Anchor for the Soul, comes in. It's our current Bold Step gift right now, but today is the last day to request a copy. Ask for the book when you give a gift of any amount to support the ministry of Bold Steps. Call 844-615-7363. Again, 844-615-7363. Or go to boldstepsradio.org. You can also write to us and request the book with your gift, Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. And before Monday rolls around, be sure to sign up to receive our Bold Stepper Weekly. Let Mark inspire you this coming week with his latest Bold Step story and ministry update. This weekly email is delivered right to your inbox each Monday morning, and you won't want to miss it. Lots of good things are headed your way this year. So sign up today at boldstepsradio.org. And then one more thing before we conclude today. We're always making news around here, Mark. I love that about Bold Steps. But starting at the end of this month, Bold Steps is expanding our reach. Starting January 29th, many of you will be able to hear Mark Jobe on the weekend with a weekend edition of Bold Steps. Mark, this is pretty exciting news.
Yeah, we are really excited about this because this will be apart from our regular Bold Steps radio that where you hear it on a regular basis. It'll be a weekend edition, aired at different times, but we'll give you more information about that. Yep. So some people that can't catch Bold Steps during the day are going to be able to catch a weekend edition.
Look for the Bold Steps Weekend Program. I'm Wayne Shepherd wishing you a wonderful weekend. Be sure to come back Monday when Mark continues with this discussion on making all things new. The message is part of our Rewrite series, and you'll hear it Monday on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.